You're listening to ABC Local Radio across the top end. Have you ever had your computer hacked? I'd love to hear from you this morning if that's happened. You can send me a text on 1-999-1057 or give us a call, 1-300-057-222. What did you do? What damage did it do? Apparently you're nobody if you're not being hacked these days. Interesting to hear yesterday that parliamentary computers, including that of the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister and Defence Minister, might have been hacked and emails intercepted. There are also reports of major hacking incidents for international companies in recent times too. So how serious is the threat of hacking, and what does it mean for national and international security? What can you do to protect your personal computer too? Make sure you tune in over the next couple of minutes, because joining us right now for a little Hacking 101 is freelance internet writer and podcaster Still Garion. Good morning, Still.
Good morning, Kate.
Now, what do you make of this story about potential, they haven't been confirmed, but potential computer breaches at senior government level? How serious is this threat?
Well, it's a very real threat. And if the stories are saying it's happened, it probably has. It's really an example of a lot of high-level hacking that's happening around the world at the moment that's targeted at senior political figures and really coordinated from the nation-state level. The idea that, you know, that hackers are disgruntled teenagers in their bedroom is terribly out of date. This is serious business now.
Well, it could still be teenagers, couldn't it? I mean, the thing about it is that anybody could have a go at hacking just because they feel like it, or hacking because they're being paid to.
Absolutely. And that's really the reason, one of the reasons, that this is now seen as such a big international threat, because using traditional techniques of warfare, obviously you need millions, if not billions of dollars to build weapon systems. Even traditional ways of doing espionage, well, you know, you had to parachute in your secret agents or drop them in by submarine or build complex radio monitoring stations and so on. But now really all you need is someone with a brain and a computer. And because all of our computers are connected with all of the other computers around the world, an attack literally can come from anyone, anywhere.
How do these attacks happen? Like, you hear phrases like a brute force hack. What is that?
Whoa, okay. Well, there's lots and lots of different techniques, and gee, the hard one here is going to be talking about this stuff without getting too technical and people's brains imploding. But a brute force attack, look, one of the ways that you want to get into something is by getting hold of the password to get into someone's account. And we're all used to, you know, putting in a password or a PIN for our internet banking or whatever it might be. So if you've got that, then you can automatically get in. You're just logging in as normal using that person's normal login, you know, username and password. So one of the ways of getting hold of the password is just to guess. And that's what a brute force attack is. You just start systematically guessing the most likely passwords that it might be. And if you try for long enough, you'll eventually get it.
Are there some internationally accepted easiest passwords to guess?
Yep, password is the top one.
You're right.
Followed by password 1, probably, or password 69, or secret, or whatever. But what the people guessing the passwords with these brute force attacks, what they do is they actually try every word in the dictionary, all of the spacecraft names and character names from Star Trek and every other popular television science fiction series. And the really scary thing is, if you start guessing passwords like password, secret, password 1, or just the username again or whatever, usually, if you try about the first 20 of those, you've probably broken into about half of the user accounts out there. People are really bad at choosing good passwords.
So if you're listening to this and your password is indeed password or password 1 or password exclamation, then you might have to think about changing it.
You might. And there's some tricks to getting good ones. And I mean, this is actually really basic stuff, and one of the most frustrating things that everyone in the information security world faces is that they're constantly repeating these same 3 or 4 messages, that if people followed them, then 90% of the problems would go away. And passwords is top of the list, pretty much. So to to choose a good password, it's got to be something that is completely random, that someone can't guess, that can't link back to you. So don't use the names of your kids, don't use your postcode, don't use your birthday, don't use your favourite football team or your the name of your dog or anything like that.
Don't use anything that would be easy to remember for you, despite the fact that you've got 15 passwords that you need to jam into your head.
That's right.
That's the difficulty. Hey, Fred called and he reckons the federal government computers might have been hacked by someone who ran out of fertiliser because they might need... They needed lots of bull, you know, and that was the easiest way they could think of to get it.
Well, I must admit, if the story is true, the computers that were accessed were not the really secure ones used by the Prime Minister and the Defence Minister to, you know, run the secret stuff. It was the less secure parliamentary network that they used just for answering correspondence from voters and things like that. So, in a sense, there probably wasn't, and there certainly shouldn't have been anything, you know, top secret on that network. But the problem is that once you start getting access to some of the information someone has, then you can start putting the pieces together and maybe get more information that makes it easier to break in at the next level.
So, Garen, what are the ultimate consequences of this? It just seems as though this is going to be a bigger and bigger issue for which there's no real solution, because every time someone thinks of a solution, someone thinks of a way to get around it.
Absolutely. It's an arms race, and it's a constant battle. Look, I compare it to, you know, if you're running a business or you have a home, you know, you lock the doors and there's possibly thieves who want to, you know, break in and steal stuff. And the thieves get better, so you've got to get better, and then the thieves will get better. So it is a kind of continual process, and you've just got to continually improve that, improve your defences, because the bad guys are getting better all the time. Now, there is a sense, I must admit, within the kind of information security people that work at the national government level, and you talk to people, say, from the FBI or the US Secret Service in the United States or, connected with the federal police here in Australia or elsewhere, you do get the sense that the bad guys are getting better faster than the good guys are getting better, which is a bit scary. Then at the same time, I suppose everyone's trying to get, budget and money for their projects. So a scary story helps shake out some government funds. But we are at an interesting turning point now. There have been a number of security incidents in the last, say, 6 months that have really highlighted how serious this is getting at the big international level. And this one with Australia's top politicians, well, that's really just one of them.
And what are the other ones that we should be aware of?
There was a very interesting one last week, the last couple of weeks, that appears to have come out of Iran. The Iranians are very, very good at this kind of stuff. How can I explain this easily? Every time you go to a secure website, say to do your internet banking, how do you know you're actually connected to the bank and it's not some imposter's computer, you know, just trying to get hold of you logging in and all your details? Now, the answer to that is that there's a technology called digital certificates, which I won't bother explaining how they work, but essentially they use a trusted third party, a certificate authority that says, yes, using all these technical means, we can verify that you are in fact connected legitimately to the bank's computer and not to someone else. What some presumed Iranian hackers did is break into the computers of one of the organisations that issues those certificates and started creating their own certificates which said, yes, we're Hotmail, or yes, we're Yahoo Mail, or yes, we're Skype, the online voice communication system. So if they had deployed those, that could have meant they could have set things up so you thought you were connecting to Hotmail to legitimately get your own email, but in fact you were connected to Iranian computers and they were monitoring and logging everything you did. And in that case, it appears to have been something targeted probably within Iran at their own dissidents so that they could monitor their communications. But it does show that people have worked out ways of getting into that system.
Still, Garen, you have just terrified me.
Well, good, actually, because this stuff is kind of terrifying. And I, you know, I'll emphasize again, the bad guys are getting very, very good at this stuff. And the internet is now so essential to what we do. There's what, 2 billion people using the internet now, which is, you know, nearly a third of the people on the planet. And we take it for granted that we can connect securely to our banks or, you know, go to an online store or renew our insurance or have our very, very private communication, about our personal lives, or our businesses. And, you know, there are people out there trying to get hold of all this stuff.
Thank you so much for terrifying us this morning, Still. It's always
anytime,
a pleasure.
Anytime. Give you some nightmares later.
Still Gerion is a freelance internet writer and podcaster, and he certainly has some pretty scary information about the world of hacking and, yeah, the less than secure world of the internet. You're listening to ABC Local Radio across the top end. Kate O'Toole with you.